Welcome to the Human Factors and Ergonomics Hub, a series of educational podcasts that showcase the connection between human capabilities and good work design. Brought to you by the Human Factors and Ergonomics Society of Australia. Hi, and welcome to the HFE podcast. It's great to have you on board with us once again. I want you to think for a moment about how many times you've sat in a public place on a seat that once you've sat on it, you have great difficulty climbing out. Now, this may not be a problem for you if you're able-bodied or young, but it is a problem for many people. So today, we're talking about public seating. Our hosts on our podcast today are my academic colleagues, Associate Professor Carla Ocapanicia from the University of New South Wales, Dr. Robin Coman, along with Vinod Kapaldasani from the University of Wollongong.
Welcome to the HVISA podcast, and today we're talking about the seating project. One of the great things about human factors ergonomics is that it's often really connected to everyday life. You're likely all too familiar with seats in public places that look really beautiful but fail to deliver in terms of comfort, ease of use, and ease of standing. You might have seen these in airports, shopping malls, town squares, basically any public place. I'm Dr. Carla Ocapanicia. I'm an academic at the University of New South Wales. And today I'm talking with my colleagues with whom I worked on this project, Robin Coman and Vinod Kapaldasani. And we'll introduce Robin and Vinod in just a moment. I have to declare a bit of a bias in this area. I'm almost 2 metres tall and well outside the 95th percentile. So basically every public seat is too low for me. But my interest in this area is not just out of self-interest. Our population is ageing, something that we experience personally in our families and as a community. And how we create environments that are adapted for the needs of people as people are changing is, to me, an absolutely critical place for where human factors and ergonomics can contribute. So to discuss this project, what we did, what we found, the impacts and the outcomes, I'm joined by Dr. Robin Coman. Robin, would you like to introduce yourself? Hi.
Yes, thanks, Carlo. Well, I'm an academic at the University of Wollongong within the OHS academic program where I teach human factors, ergonomics and workplace injury management, and I do that at undergrad and postgrad levels. I'm a registered physiotherapist and an ergonomist, and I have worked in the past across private practice, hospital sectors, and then more broadly in industry. I have a particular interest in optimising function of older adults. So this is an area where I undertook my PhD research and have continued to work. And I'm concerned about promoting mobility of older adults, whether they are living in the community or living in supported accommodation such as residential aged care.
Thanks, Robin. And we're also joined by our colleague, Dr. Vinod Kapaldasani. Vinod, welcome. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Thanks, Carlo. Hi, Robin. It's great to talk to this audience as well. My name is Dr. Vinod. I'm an academic at the University of Wollongong in the OHS academic program. I'm also the director for the Centre for Occupational, Public and Environmental Research in Safety and Health. And more recently, I am also taking on the role of Associate Dean for Global Engagement within the Faculty of the Arts, Social Sciences and Humanities. My research interest is in the aging workforce and optimizing mobility for older adults, as Robin has mentioned, is one of the projects that we initially started when looking at research in older adults with my colleague from the University of New South Wales, Dr. Carlo Ocapanicia.
Thanks. Which is me. Thanks, Vinod, and welcome to both of you. I guess I should say a little bit about my background. I have a background in psychology, and I've worked in human factors and safety for a long time across lots of different domains. I do a lot of work in psychosocial risks, which is a really important area, particularly at the moment. It's always been an important area and a very important part of human factors and ergonomics. So this was a project that we started, I think, in about 2018. or 17.
17.
Mm-hmm. So a little while ago, and it involved all of us, so a cross-university collaboration here from UNSW and University of Wollongong. And I guess what we might do to start out is to just talk about how the project started. Where did it come from? Why did we start working on this? So, Robin, can you tell us a little bit about how this started?
Yes. Well, we shared a passionate interest in promoting independent mobility of older adults. And we know that there's been a rapid increase in the number of older adults in our community. In 2016, some 3.7 million Australians were aged over 65. And by 2056, this was going to increase to 8 million, so some 22% of the population. Therefore, enabling older adults to remain independent and engage with their communities is a key social, health and economic challenge. And maintaining their mobility, so their independence and their community engagement, is going to be increasingly important. So as a result of this, in 2017, we formed this research team to apply for a livable communities grant with what was then known as the New South Wales Department of Family and Community Services. And this multi-stage project investigated older Australians' use, satisfaction and comfort with the available public seating which they encountered and how this seating was affecting their independence and engagement in social and community activities.
Great. Thanks, Robin. So I guess there was also an observational element there, though, as well, that we knew or we had a good guess or a good hypothesis that older people were having problems with public seating as well.
Indeed. We knew this. Well, I, of course, from my work in residential aged care, knew that if we didn't have the seating environment right in aged care, those residents lost mobility, they lost the ability to stand from seating. And then we knew it anecdotally that older adults were finding it challenging in the community, challenging to go out and do the things they had to do, like shopping and going to the doctor.
So, Vinod, can you tell us a little bit about the approach and the stages of the project?
Yeah, so we had different stages to this project. We had a stage where we did some work in the laboratory setting. We also had a stage where we conducted surveys and audits of public seats. And we also had focus group discussions with older adults to get deeper insights into their experiences in using the public seating.
Great. So it sounds really comprehensive at lots of different levels. So, Robin, can you tell us about what we found when we talked to older people?
Certainly. So, first of all, we administered an anonymous survey to older adults, and over 106 participants. They're all 65, age 65 years and over. Now, the key things we found was that the majority, so some 59.5%, had experienced difficulty with transferring sit to stand from a chair in a public location. And the top five locations that they identified where they were experiencing difficulty getting off a chair, a seat, was in shopping malls, cafes and restaurants, doctor's offices, outdoor locations and public toilets. And the most common factor that contributed to their difficulty was seat height, and principally that it was too low. And this was followed that the seats were too soft and or too deep. And the impact that this was having on these older adults was that it was causing inconvenience, embarrassment, discomfort, pain, and needing help from another person in order to stand. Now, we followed that survey with focus groups, which we conducted in urban, regional and rural locations with older adults. And there were several key themes that came out of that. Firstly, that the poor design of seating, the coping behaviours that older adults have to employ to be able to manage the public seating that they encounter and the impact that it's having on them in terms of social identity.
So, Vinod, you also mentioned the audit tool. Can you tell us a bit about, you know, we've heard from Robin about what people are saying about seating. So then can you tell us a bit about what seating actually looks like in the community?
Sure, Carlo. We audited over 600 or close to 600 public seats, and it was interesting to see how the seats varied in their form, function, design, and aesthetics. What we found is that in a bid to make the seats more aesthetically pleasing, form and function was lost, as these particular seats had contours that were pleasing to look at but were non-functional to use. So while aesthetic design of public seating is important from the aspect of a welcoming public place, it is equally important to focus on usability. So what is the point of having a pleasing seat to look at, but it remains unused? The other interesting thing was the materials that we used in these public seats ranged from hard metal and concrete surfaces with no compressibility to really soft cushion seat that sank deeper as you sat on them, making it impossible to get up, as Robin mentioned, because this required significant effort and energy from older adults. Different areas had different types of seating. For example, some shopping centers had really good seats for older adults to gather together and socialize during shopping or while waiting for their partners to finish shopping. However, over time, we noticed that some of these seats started to disappear from shopping centers, possibly in a bid to discourage social gatherings and focus on people doing their shopping and moving on. This is such a shame and a loss in some of, as some of our participants indicated in the focus groups, that they no longer go to certain shopping centres because there are no seats for them to even rest for a bit while shopping.
It's a real impact on how people undertake their daily life. And I don't know that everyone necessarily thinks about seating in that way. Like, it sounds like such a simple thing, whether you provide a seat or not, whether they're seating, you don't really need to think much about its design. Like, the general public probably wouldn't think about seating in a way that we're talking about it right now in terms of the impact it might have on people being able to use a space.
Well, could I just mention that there was two participants who were part of our focus groups. One was an older gentleman who said he has to drive to a specific bus stop in his community where he knows he can stand up from that seat without assistance. So the bus stop closer to his home, he would have required the assistance from someone. And another was an older woman who'd had a slight stroke. She said she had to go and see a particular medical specialist. And in his room, once she entered his room for the examination by the doctor, the seat that she was sitting in was of high slip. And as a result, after she sat on it, she actually slipped off it and hit her head on his glass-topped desk. So, you know, and this was an environment where there would have been many older adults who had issues with their mobility.
So I think what that's showing is that people don't think about seat design when they're putting seats in different locations and thinking about the design and the user and how it's going to be used. I thought we might talk a little bit more about the audit and how that sort of audit tool, Vinod's been telling us a bit about the results of that, but how did that audit tool come to be? How was it developed, Robin?
Yes, well further to what Vinod's already discussed, we developed the audit tool so that we could go and assess public seating and determine whether it was suitable for older adults. We based it on our review of the literature, so what we knew about features of seating, which would make it usable for older adults, and it was then the tool was further informed by what we the information that we gained through our surveys and focus groups. So what the older adults were telling us, we identified 8 questions that needed to be answered in relation to the public seating. So the seat height, armrest, backrest, accessibility, seat depth, seat angle, compressibility and foot clearance. Consistent with our desire to keep the audit tool nice and short and simple, each element was scored as either positive or negative for whether it promoted sit to stand transfer for that older person. Where relevant, we had a range of measurement information to aid the scoring, and there was also a diagram there that showed the relative dimensions of aspects of the seat. Now, this audit tool, it was tested in the field, as Vinod has mentioned, over 500 seats out in the community. We also assessed inter-rater reliability. And following this, data from the audit was then used to understand what the distribution of potentially problematic seeding is within our community, and that was both by geographic region and location, and we then further refined the tool.
Okay, so a range of different sources of data all coming together, both from looking at the literature first, talking to older people about their experience through survey and focus group, then going out and looking at what the seats actually look like in the community and doing an assessment there. And then there was also a lab study, Robin. Can you tell us more about that one?
Yes. So this was the really one of the final parts of our project. And what we did here, we went, it was conducted at the University of Wollongong. We went and gathered a number of seats that were provided in public spaces within the university. And then we conducted an evaluation with a group of older adults. So there was 20 older adults and then 10 younger adults who were our controls, where we wanted to evaluate the physical demands and movement patterns when these participants stood up from these different forms of seating. The measurements we included was how long it took them, their range of motion within their joints, the relative movement patterns, and also what they reported to us. So their self-reported difficulty with using that chair. And what the results found was that older adults, their sit-to-stand transfers were significantly slower than the younger participants, the controls, and some 40% of the variability in the standing time of the older adults was attributed to the interaction with the type of chair. So lower chairs with deeper seats were the most difficult. And the findings highlighted problems that older people experience when they're using public seating, and it informed the sort of guidance that we can provide to space owners.
It was quite an interesting part of the study to wander around the university and find vacant chairs that we could recruit to that particular part of the study.
Indeed, yes.
So Vinod, what are the next steps for this work?
We're currently in the process of digitising the audit tool to make it more widely available to all stakeholders. So this could be the general public, local councils, as well as manufacturers and suppliers of public seating. This is important because we want to inform everyone about the need to include older adults in the design and use of public seating. We're also looking to partner with manufacturers and help them in designing and testing usable chairs that are multifunctional. And what do I mean by this? I mean, we could design a hybrid public seating that has a section for older adults and a section for the younger people. We would also like to partner with local government councils to critically consider the usability of public seating that they control and to ensure that it is usable by all members of the community, especially the older adults.
Great. Thanks, Vinod. I guess there's all sorts of different places that this project could go as well. I mean, another development, I suppose, would be once we've done some more work with public seating would be to think about, well, how does this then relate to other types of seating, like seating that people might have in their home, with the increasing trend to age in place, as it's known? How do people then assess other furniture that they may need at home to facilitate their mobility at home, not just being an assistive technology thing, but broadening that scope to what might happen with other home-based furniture? I think that may be a little way off, but I think this project really demonstrates, you know, lining up a number of different sources of data to get all different kinds of perspectives and angles on the program, on the problem, so that we can move forward with a clear sense of where we should be headed. So just in wrapping up, I thought I might come to both of you to ask for some reflections on why you think this area is so important. What's the significance of this work? So maybe I'll come to you first, Robin.
Right, well, the point that I'd make is that we know that changes that older adults experience in muscle strength, power, and the mobility of their joints is going to influence their mobility, but independence is also facilitated by features of the environment that you know, make, you know, whether they go shopping, how they get on public transport, they're getting to health services, making these things accessible and easy to use. So it's therefore critical that we optimise the environment.
Yeah, great. What about you, Vinod? What are your thoughts on why this is important and significant work?
We are living longer, which means we are having a population of older adults that's getting larger and will only continue to get larger. And part of living well and living longer and aging well is being part of the community. And an important part of being engaged with community is socialization and keeping and maintaining those social connections. Public seating is an avenue to enable those social connections. I mean, imagine if you were going to a place where there was no public seating available or it was inappropriate to use for older adults, you would get older adults becoming more and more isolated. And that's not what we are. That's not what we want for our aging population. So this is why this research is important in this area, because it enables so many things that help us to age well, live longer.
Thanks, Vinod. And of course, we're all aging. One thing that we all have in common, we all have an interest in this area and making sure it's done as best as we can in our communities. So thanks so much, Robin and Vinod, for taking us through this project and the various aspects of it. People who are listening, there's always more opportunities to be involved in work like this. Keep an eye or an ear out for updates on this project. There will be ways of using the tools that have come out of this project, which is really something to look forward to. So thank you both for joining us today. And thanks everyone for listening to this HAFISA podcast. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for joining us at the Human Factors and Ergonomics Hub, brought to you by the Human Factors and Ergonomics Society of Australia, where human-centred design really matters. If you like this podcast, make us your favourite in your podcast app. We look forward to chatting with you next time.